Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 78th Venice International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Bianca Stigter. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to be talking about a fascinating film here presented at the Giornate degli Autori Strand. It's called 3 Minutes, A Lengthening. And I mean, you know, the best way to introduce it would be, I mean, just by asking you, how would you introduce this film? Because it's quite, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, to be honest.
No, it's 3 minutes of footage, mostly filmed in color, way back in 1938. And it shows people outside in a small town in Poland, not so far from Warsaw. And you really see all the children coming out. They really want to be captured by the camera because it's something new and cool for them. And they seem really very much alive. So it shows a kind of glimpse of a world that a few years later did not exist anymore, because most people you see were murdered in the Holocaust.
Tragically, yes. Well, you know, a good place to start for me, especially because, like I said, I don't believe that I've ever seen a film like it before, but I am, passionate about film preservation. I understand the importance of the films that have been kept from the past, not only the big productions that people may associate with film preservation, but also the films that were taken kind of by amateur aficionados of the early times of filmmaking. But when did it occur? I mean, knowing about your past and how you've found documents in the past of various kinds that revealed histories of peoples. But when did it occur that you could make a film like this? And how did the whole process start? How did you find the footage?
Well, I was scrolling on Facebook, actually.
Oh. And I as easy as that, sometimes.
And there was a post called 3 Minutes in Poland, and it sounded really intriguing to me. So I clicked on it, and I found out it was about this footage that was shot in this small town in Poland. And you could see the footage on the website of the Holocaust Museum in Washington. So I looked at it, and then immediately I had a feeling, wouldn't it be wonderful if you could keep these people in some way longer present than for just this 3 minutes. And then I got a chance from the film festival Rotterdam to make a video essay. And I said, can I do this? And they said, yes, go ahead, start. Yeah. So, and then it took 5 more years to come up with this movie we have now.
But to lengthen 3 minutes and make it a feature-length film, did you know what you would be doing? Because for those who haven't seen it, I mean, the film has a structure for sure, but it also almost feels like we are discovering it. It's almost hard to explain, but we're discovering it as the film unravels.
Yes.
And so we find details of what we're seeing, like, for example, the sign of a butcher or, you know, the faces of people. So how was it? How did you get a structure in mind? And was it difficult to actually lengthen the film like that?
I would say yes and no, because there were certain things that you know immediately, oh, we want to tell this story, and sometimes you would find something as you go along, you would find interesting information that you didn't have before. And then, for instance, there is a part in the film that someone says, we know that they listen to the BBC radio there in Poland. And then they say, we listen to Bert Ambrose, that was a certain band leader from the 30s who performed in London for the radio.
Yeah.
And then you can still look in the Radio Times from those days and find out what songs they played. So then we could put one of the songs with the images in the movie. So that way we slowly could build it up to fill the 3 minutes with as much information and show it in a different way, in different focus on different aspects all the time.
Yeah. I mean, in the film, of course, we do hear the voices and we see the contributions of experts and actually people who are somehow connected with the footage itself. So were they all connected organically? Did it all happen, you know, maybe you were focusing on one thing and then you realized there was another thing, so you would contact someone else? Mm-hmm. Or how did that work?
Well, there was also a lot of research that, because we tried everything, let's say, that didn't we didn't succeed in finding it. For instance, you see people speaking in the film. So I thought, okay, we'll get a lip reader and maybe he can tell us what they are actually saying. But then the footage was too vague and no one wanted to take the risk of saying, oh, they're probably saying this. So we had a lot of dead ends in that sense that you couldn't get more information out of it.
It was an investigation.
Yes, but some things, for instance, the same as I saw it on that website, also one of the survivors who is still alive now saw himself on that footage. And we interview him as well for the movie. So you hear his voice, and he recognized himself as a 30-year-old old boy, and he's 98 now. So.
And I can't even imagine what that would have felt like. I mean, back then, you know, nowadays it's almost hard to believe because everyone has got phones and, you know, we're all able to kind of catch footage of the world around us. But back then, this was a big deal. And you kind of see that, you know, people and the way in which they reacted to the camera too. I mean, it was a whole event, right?
Yeah, that you really see all this because he tries to film, let's say, the houses, and you see the children want to stay in the frame all the time. They really follow the camera while they're walking.
I feel like apologizing for the next question because it seems like such a naive question. Mm-hmm. But there is an important historical and social and cultural, value to the film, to this film, and to the original footage as well. But certainly now that we get to know a little more about the context and everything. Why do you feel that it is an important story to tell, this particular one of Nichelsk and your investigation? Do you feel like it should have resonance in today's world?
Yeah, for many different reasons. On the one hand, that you can see what, if you really look at something very closely and again and again and again, that it can yield a lot of information and beauty in a way. That for me is also a very important aspect of it.
Right.
And of course it gives you a glimpse into a world that we can't access. And then you can of course debate, can you really access it through a movie, or is it just a tantalizing thing, like you get the feeling you can be there, but you of course can't really be there. So that kind of more philosophical questions come into play as well.
Do you feel that maybe it humanizes the discourse a bit? Because I remember that in one particular part of the film, there's a lot of emphasis on the faces.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's incredibly important because, yes, we have seen faces from the time, but these are different. They're restored also. Do you think that, you know, projects like these, films like these, kind of humanize history, an important part of history?
Yeah, and in the case of this film, you have now, for instance, with monuments, they often focus on names. You have lists of names, because that is mostly the only thing what is left of someone, is that we still know a name, because it was recorded. And you get these lists of names on walls that gives you also an idea of how many people were murdered. But here it's also kind of a floating thing in that sense, because we don't have the names of the majority of the people in the film. We just have their faces. So how does that work for preserving memory? Can you have only official memory, or does it have to be that official thing that is a name? And for me, it was also very important. Some of the faces, of course, are very clear, but some are also very blurry or deteriorated, but I also wanted them to show them, because, you know, you want to show everything that we still have left.
Yeah. So. And, you know, that we still have left is a good point, because the situation for different archives in different parts of the world is not that good right now. Sometimes it is up to the governments and the state to fund these projects to keep these memories alive. And it's surprising. Oh, it never fails to baffle me how much this side of, you know, cultural heritage is just overlooked by so many of the world's leaders. The fire of the Cinemateca Brasileira, but we could go on and on. It's tragic. But thankfully, a film like yours, Bianca, will definitely help, you know, show people how important it is to still have that footage, but also to do something that isn't just insightful, but also quite creative. Because again, very unique film. So it was a pleasure watching it for me, and I took a lot from it, and it was a pleasure speaking with you about it as well. So thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.